I will talk about this thing called related to OCD. You all know what is OCD? Huiping will know, right? Can you tell them what is OCD? Only can what? D drive. What? Only can do things in their head. How come you got so many alphabet? What? OCD, that is, you got in their head. I don't know what, H. So you are joking with me or you really don't know what it's... No. If you don't know, it's okay. As, yeah. So, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to touch on what you all know. Otherwise, why I touch? Okay, what do you all know? Obsessive? But today, we're going to talk about new OCD called Obsessive Comparison Disorder. Some people say this is a new OCD for this age. Actually, it's not for this age.
Since ages ago,
people have been comparing, right? Is comparing new to you? Who have never compared at all? Even if you're the only child, like Qiao Yi, you're the only child, right? You have no siblings to compare to. But have you compared before? If you say no, you're fooling me. So you see, comparison is nothing new. But of course, here, they say this is a new OCD. But with the internet, you realize this comparison thing has been brought to new heights. You know, in the past, we tend to compare only in face-to-face situation, right? Wow, when I look at this person, wow, very pretty. Look at the person, have a new bag. Face-to-face encounters, then you will trigger our comparison antenna. But now with this internet, 5 minutes on the web, then before you know it, suddenly the surges of comparison, the currents of comparison will flood our mind, our hearts. So this is so easy nowadays. And we know that comparison, even though it's very common, okay, before I write the title, because we know that comparisons can be destructive. This is nothing new to us, right? But again, we need to ask ourselves, who doesn't know that comparisons can be destructive? We all have suffered the detrimental effects of comparing, right? So, I don't know, sometimes what does comparing with people bring you? At this moment, you all can share a little bit. This is no right or wrong. No, every time you fall into this comparison trap, what happens to you? What happens to your heart, your mind? Meaning? I finished writing. Huh? What? You compare with others. But since you asked the opposite question, I'm interested to know the answer to the other question also. So what happens when you compare yourself to other people? Okay. What is the majority kind of effect on you? Which one is more? The inferior part or the... Wow. Is it because you dare not say the prop? If that's the case, you just tell God. Don't you tell us? So what happens when others compare to you? What do you think? How you don't know when others compare to you, how would you know their reaction? You mean you can read people's mind? Well, this person compared to me, she feel very good about herself. So we know that, okay, sometimes when we compare, like what Yuning say, we either feel very proud or we feel very depressed, we feel very inferior. And then even when you feel proud, associated with that pride, you also sometimes feel anxious because sometimes, you know, for now, I think I measure better than the other person. I don't know, 2 days later, 1 week later, you know, this test, I win my friend. Next test, I don't know who win, you know. The anxiety will be also there. So, actually, there's another possible and very common effect that will happen to us whenever we get into comparison. What is that? Huiping. Envious. Okay, yeah, jealousy, envy, correct. I mean, no right or wrong. Weixiang? Feel very sad. Okay. So all your answers to a certain extent rather center on your own feelings and thinking. There's another possible outcome which is very common when we start comparing, is there's this interpersonal tension or conflict. Because it's unspoken, it's in the air. You know, somehow you know this person is comparing with you, that person is not, or you are comparing with the person. Then there's this unspoken or even sometimes spoken or obvious interpersonal tension where, you know, it spoils relationship. It breaks down relationship. And so we all know we have to stop measuring ourselves against others because it brings us harm, it makes us miserable, makes us sad, like what Wei-Xiang said. But the thing is, our problem is we cannot stop ourselves from comparing sometimes. It's in our eyes, it's in our environment, it's in the trigger. And so, although we know that not all comparisons are bad, right? But the moment we start to sense that this comparing that we are falling into is leading us towards pride, is leading us towards selfishness or even bitterness, then that's the moment we must quickly turn to rely on God to stop this comparison. We cannot do it on our own, but we can ask God for help. So how is comparison destructive? Because we need to know that the heart of comparison is very much related to this pride thing and also selfishness thing. You know, even those people who, I mean, me included, who says that every time I compare, I will feel inferior. But it has certain connotation of selfishness because I don't want to feel inferior. I don't want to feel lousy. I don't want to feel small. I don't want to be the lowest at the chain. Me, I don't want to be slighted. So there's this hint of, you know, there's this hint of wanting self-glory and don't want to be in a self-lowly position. So all this is related to this thing called sin. So you realize that when, okay, so if I ask you, when did people start comparing? The moment where sin enters the world. So if you recall, when's the first time people start to compare? You know, Genesis 3, humans sin. And then the first episode of jealousy, envy, immediately occurs in Genesis chapter 4, right? The very, very famous story of the brothers, Cain and Abel. You know, Cain was very jealous that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to God, accepted to God, and then his was not. And so he killed his brother, and then he himself also got cursed by God because of whatever he has done. So it's very destructive. Destroy another person's life, it destroys, okay, first of all, it destroys relationship. Then it destroys the other person. Then it also destroys ourselves because ultimately, it will get us into the bad books of God whenever we are not satisfied with whatever we have. And so, we see that this is where God wants us to be, careful. Okay, why do I think of this, topic today? Of course, one is related to last week's message because you can see from the title that this same word, follow. Follow me, follow Jesus. But again, I was young before, even now I'm also, I mean, even now all already still will compare, but what I mean is, when I was in a school environment, I realized comparison is like an everyday meal you have to go through. You know, it's like every time you go to school, you know, there's so many things to compare, especially, I don't know about engineering, but in the arts, right, people are not just concerned about studies, they're concerned about how you look. So there's this, and there's a lot of obvious or undercurrent that may attack our spirit. So that's why I was thinking as a, you know, every time I think about NUS, I was trying to pretend to be young again. What are the young people's struggle? You know, but I realized this is something that we cannot avoid. Of course, age doesn't really, I mean, regardless of age, we will compare. But I think when you're in a campus situation, you see, you know, who is more favored by the teacher, who has better grade, who is more popular, you know, whose life is more exciting. You know, while those in the hostel, they're having a good life. Those joining some very outstanding ECA, they're very, CCA, sorry, they're very well-known. You know, now I'm this low profile, you know, like this phantom roaming in the in the campus. So this sometimes will hit us and may steal away our joy in the Lord. And that's why we need to be very careful to guard ourselves against the destructive effect and trap of this comparison. And so this, I don't need to say more because I think it's very obvious that there is detrimental consequences when we compare. And so what is God's word for us? God's word for us is this title. What is that to you? Just follow me. In other words, don't compare, but follow Jesus. So, in relation to this, as a continuation to last week's message, shall we read John chapter 21? And this is a story of who? Peter and Jesus' conversation. So this is an account of, you know, Jesus telling Peter, you know, come and follow me. And then this, you know, when Jesus is telling Peter such an important thing, you know what Peter said? Peter was thinking about, or if this is going to happen to me, what about John? You know, he's still curious about the fate of John. So this Peter was very funny. You know, he was like, he denied Christ 3 times. And then Jesus still kind of find him back and reconcile with him and give him great commission and wanted to use him again by right. Peter must be so grateful and so happy, right? But strangely, this human nature is like that. Not just him, we also something like that. You know, God gave us a chance, God forgive us, and we taste the sweetness of God. And when God gives us something, we're very happy. But at the same time, we are curious. Hey, then what about the other person? God, you give me, very good, like, give me a place in NUS. How about the other person? You know, so when Peter was curious about the fate of John, Jesus told him, don't compare, but just follow him. So we start to read from verse 17. So John chapter 21, verse 17. Okay, the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So it's very cute. This Peter, he truly loved Jesus. But despite that, he also fell deep into the comparison trap. And so Jesus said, feed my sheep. And verse 18, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And then verse 20 is where, you know, the comparison starts. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Then verse 21. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? I don't know how many times y'all have also asked this question. Lord, I thank you for all your mercy, all your kindness on me, but what about him? You know, sometimes we ask, Lord, I serve you well, but, you know, this other person didn't even follow you. How can you give him better things? You know, so verse 22 is very important. This is also Jesus' answer to us today. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So if I want him to remain alive until I return, this is like what? This is a very different option. In fact, a so much better alternative to Peter's fate. Because earlier on, Jesus mentioned about Peter's fate. You know, people will bring you to wherever you're not willing. You know, you will die like a horrible death like that. And then now, Jesus is telling him, so what if I want to lead John in a way that, you know, he can remain alive, he can escape death. He don't need to die, you know. But this doesn't mean that it truly happened. But Jesus is trying to tell Peter, so what if hypothetically this person is going to have a better alternative than you? And so this is what God is telling us today. Don't compare, but follow Jesus. So, you know, today, you know, as I read this, I felt very convicted by God. Because so many times, actually, I can be frank with you all. So many times, even until today, you know, God is also telling me this same thing. You know, like, you know, as I say, I can be very frank. You know, there was God always reassured me and say, so what if you can? So what if Pastor Vincent preached so much better than you? You know, every time I go to mission trip, everybody queue to talk to Pastor Vincent. Only when I cannot get a queue number to Pastor Vincent, then they say, ah, preacher Huijin. So it's like, and then, so it's very obvious one. Then, you know, last time we go mission, there will be, we have to eat what? So one table only can seat 10 people, right? So everybody will flood to the table. Hey, I cannot squeeze anymore. Ah, bopian, you know, bopian means cannot help it. Ah, come and sit with preacher. So, you know, sometimes I know, all these things are very obvious, but the thing is, but God also tells us to look at ourselves with what? Sober judgment. So again, this scripture also reminds us, so what if Pastor Vincent can preach better than you? So what if more people find him? You follow me. And today God is also telling all of you, you have different situation than me. So what can God be telling you today? You know, God maybe will say, so what? You know, if, what is it to you? And your friend is very popular, very pretty, have a lot of fan club, you know, have an exciting life. So what is that to you, you know? You must follow me. And the important word in this verse is what? Okay, no, I inserted the wrong. You not just follow, you must follow Jesus. There's no better way for satisfaction, no better way for joy, no better way for glory, no better way for rewards. You must follow Jesus. And, you know, God also can tell us, you know, so what is it to you? If your another friend score very well without studying, but you burn midnight oil, do your report diligently, and you score a C, the fellow score an A, and you claim that, God, I pray, I hold on to your throne every day, and I pray for my exam, in the end, I get a C. And this person doesn't even know God, and then they never pray, anyhow study, you still go for movies, and then get an A. What is that to you? Follow me. Or, you know, sometimes when we're asking, God, what's the point of following you? You know, other people, they are not Christian, but they seem to be very happy, have a very fulfilling life, they have a very meaningful life, they do what they like, and they can manage their time very well. God is also telling us, what is that to you that people's hearts are cold towards God? You know, sometimes as young people, right? So I really cherish, you know, people like Wei Xiang, Qiao Yi. You know, sometimes you're DP, right? You go to the discipleship training. All the auntie, uncle sit there in discipleship training. You know, sometimes I heard one or two other younger brethren say, "Aiyah, why do I come to this discipleship training? All my younger friends and peers are not around." But then God will be telling us, what is it to you that in this meeting are all full of old people? You just follow me, despite your age. You know, last time was also very interesting. When Pastor Wen Kang all got blessed by the word of God, he started also when they are the younger so-called audience among the crowd. And then the older crowd in the end, maybe they didn't see the light of the word so much. But these younger people, they faithfully go and attend and learn the word of God. Then they got drawn in by the word of God. And they are where they are today by God's guidance. So what is it to you? Of course, my point is not about attending service. My point is, so what? What is it? So remember this question. Always put this in your mind. You know, sometimes I got the stress. You know, last time, you know, now some of you know that I'm leading the English service. Last time I got the stress. People have been so used to listening to pastor preach at the Chinese service. Then suddenly I have to come and teach, preach at the English service. First of all, my English, you all know my standard. And then after that, my preaching skill also, you all know my standard. I mean, cannot compare to him. So I also have this stress. But this always press me on because the one we serve, the one we look to is God. And the one who give us the gift is also God. If God didn't give anyone gift, including Pastor Vincent, no one can do anything for God. And sometimes the Bible also tells us, if God wanted, he can make descendants of Abraham out of stones. He can make even the stones praise God. So I'm not a stone. I mean, no matter what, I'm better than a stone, right? So God can use me. God can use you. Much better. Just follow him. You know, when you follow Jesus, you become a gem. But when we don't follow Jesus, we become always shaken, tossed by the wind. When people praise us, we're very elated. When people don't praise us, we want to die, you know. So this is when we follow Jesus, we become treasured possessions of God. And so this is why God tells us we must follow him. Why? Because God has unique plan for each of us. And, you know, because God has unique plans for each of us, it means that, you know, other people cannot become the standard for us. Because God has unique plans for you and I. Whatever happens to other people cannot become a dream or cannot become a standard for us to pursue. You know, sometimes we are locked in by our mindset. Oh, this is what is called successful. This is what is called happy. So we are locked in. Say, if I want to have a happy life, fulfilling life, I must be in this template. I must follow this model. But the thing is, God has unique plans for each of us. You know, Moses cannot be Joshua. You know, Joshua is the one who get to enter the promised land. But Moses cannot be Joshua. And Joshua cannot be like Peter. Today we read about Peter. Peter, he got the privilege and he got a chance to see Jesus, the Messiah, face to face. This is why the Old Testament people, they are dreaming every day, but they cannot get to do it. But Jesus, no. But Peter, he got to see Jesus personally and he got to live with Jesus personally. He got to see the miracle of Jesus. Wow, he's so privileged. But you see, Moses cannot be Joshua. Joshua cannot be Peter. But all of them are what? Wonderful children of God. All of them are beloved child of God. And all of them are remembered in the Bible for ages. And all of them, in the end, they all went to heaven. So you cannot be me. I cannot be you. No, I cannot be young again no matter how I pray. God, I want to be 20 years younger. I cannot. So I cannot get in touch with the kind of situation that you're all in. And you also cannot be me with all my experience and so on. But each of us, we have God's unique plan. And so when we impress this in our heart, we won't feel sad. We don't feel sad and inferior easily. You know, this is very important, especially, you know, sometimes when we compare, we'll be thinking, actually, I'm not comparing with about worldly things. Wow. I'm comparing spiritual things. Wow. You know, spiritual gifts, you know, the gift of speaking, the gift of counseling, the gift of speech, the gift of prayer, the gift of prayer answer. Sometimes, you know, when we say, God, I'm not You know, I'm not comparing whether I'm richer, whether I'm prettier, you know, whether I'm more famous. I'm comparing for gifts to serve you. But the thing is, even if you're comparing over the good things, we have to guard our hearts very well. Because the devil is so cunning and our sinful nature is so sneaky. You know, even Peter, the anointed apostle, just recently got reconciled with God. God just gave him a big task, and after that he said, what about John? You know, hey, huh? How come you ask me to die on the cross and John can have an easy life until 80 years old, 100 years old? You know, so it's very easy to get into that trap. So we must always remember, God has a unique plan for you. So even the four of you here, as in the course of your study, you will realize everybody will have different grades along the way. You will think, hey, we're all diligently attending this fellowship, praying and being God-driven in our study. How come some got A, some got B, some got first class honors, some got second? God has a unique plan and special plan. So find the plan God has for you and do not let another person become your prototype or model. Okay, then I need to ask, so is all comparison bad? I know you know the answer. No, right? So tell me, what comparison is good? So even though we know there's a detrimental effects of comparison and God tells us don't compare but follow Him, but we need to also know that certain comparison are necessary. So what are these necessary comparison? Or comparison allowed by God? Can you give some example? Spiritual fervor. Correct lah, correct. It's correct. I mean, it's not wrong lah. It's just like I mentioned, just on the spiritual gift or whatever. But it can go the wrong way, right? God allow us to have certain comparison. And especially when we compare, not with people, but with God. Actually, this is necessary. Because you think about it. If we say we are a child of God, because God's objective is for us to become Christ-like. You know, by this virtue of this word, Christ-like, this word like, right, is already a comparative term. So, you know, we could be a lazy Christian or a Christian giving a lot of excuses if we don't compare with God. Because if you think about it, when we don't compare ourselves with God, tendency is we will start to feel very okay with ourselves. Okay, I already believe Christ. I have secured a place in heaven. And whenever I pray, God will forgive my sin. And that's all. I don't have to pursue perfection. I don't have to pursue sanctification. And I'll just be very happy with whatever comes. But actually, God wants us to compare with Him so that we can know what is true holiness and selfless love. You know, sometimes when we fail to look to the object and the higher standard of love and holiness, it's very easy for us to start to feel, actually, we are not bad. What? You know, I didn't kill anyone. I didn't burn down any houses. I didn't have very severe greed. You know, I just sometimes crave for some nice meal. I didn't want to have a big house or big car. You know, or we may start to think that, actually, we are not bad. You know, we still come to church. We still attend fellowship and things like that. And we didn't hurt anyone. But the thing is, the moment, I don't know about your spiritual walk, you know, sometimes when I feel I'm okay, you know, when I compare to people who are lousier than me, but whenever I look to God, I got horrified, you know, even though I'm a Christian for 30 years, I'm a preacher also. So when I look to God, I'm really horrified. I thought I was quite sacrificial already, quite tolerant already, quite loving already, you know, spending my time with people in the church, doing the work of God. But I was quite horrified when I see how Jesus, the extent to which Jesus go all the way. You know, people spit at Him. Today, if you spit at me, maybe next time don't come to NUS anymore. But Jesus, people spit at Him, He still go to the cross. I don't know how He did it. You know, so you know, sometimes when we compare, you know, sometimes it's very easy for us, you know, when people disturb us, when people abuse us, when people take advantage of us, even people in the church, we start to feel angry. Why this person not appreciative? Why this person always abuse me? Why this person always ask me to clean the toilet? I don't know. Some people think, why like that? But then I think about Jesus. Ayo, He can live in the palace in heaven and He come down and live in this earth with all these silly sinners who doesn't appreciate Him. Then I start to realize, what do I have to complain about? And also when we look to Jesus, you realize a lot of things, in the areas in which you think you're very good, suddenly fly away. You just think, there's a lot of room for improvement, a lot of room for perfection. And so, that kind of blessed comparison can actually humble us down. You know, can actually put us in a more sober perspective of ourselves. Are we really that good? And on the other hand, are we really that bad? You know, so we need to, are we really that bad, for example, you know, in terms of wealth? You know, sometimes we feel we are like, there's nothing to give thanks. There's nothing to be happy about. Look at my bank account. What's there to give thanks? You know, I cannot even go for a holiday during my school holiday, don't know what. But the thing is, you look at Jesus, am I really that bad? Actually, no. Jesus don't even have a house. You know, he say, all the fox have holes, the birds have the nest, I don't know, but I don't have a place to stay. So we are not too bad compared to Jesus. So it brings us to a more sober perspective of ourselves. It humbles us down and it gives us the desire to really be like him and to depend on him. And so without such comparison, you realize, frankly, we cannot grow. A Christian who doesn't always compare himself to Jesus will always be stagnant. And then or he will be very... either he has a very exalted view of himself, thinking he's good enough, or he will keep finding excuses, you know, not to pursue God. And so this is one of the blessed comparison God wants us to have with God. Then the other one is with godly people. So although just now I mentioned, what is that to you that Pastor Vincent can preach better? You just follow God. But that doesn't mean that I stop myself from learning from him. You have to see the difference. So that's why just now Wei Xiang's answer is also right. When we compare in terms of spiritual fervor, how do we prevent it from going the wrong direction? Say for example, when I look to Pastor Vincent, instead of comparing to him and then being handicapped, so the deciding factor is, am I handicapped after I compare? Do I stop displaying the potential that God has placed in my life after I compare to someone? Or I'm stirred in my heart. If God can do that on that person, and someone I know him since he's a teenager. If God can do that to this person, of course God can do that in me, right? I mean, God is God, right? So you'll be stirred up to really imitate. So the other verse that I want all of us to read is, is it here? Okay. Another verse I want all of us to read is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, so all these godly people before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And can we turn to the front? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, we do not want you to become lazy. So lazy means what? Complacent, not striving for perfection and sanctification. So Hebrews 6, 12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to what? To imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So how do you imitate if you don't compare, you know? How do you imitate if you don't observe the gap between their spiritual state and our spiritual state? So all these previous witnesses and godly people that God placed before us are not meant for us to compare and then we feel, I can never be like Paul. I can never be like Peter. Wow, Peter can die on the cross for Jesus. I cannot. Somebody scold me for being a Christian. I will shut up and not let anyone know that I'm a Christian. You know, sometimes we have all these reservations in our heart. But all these witnesses that God has placed before us are not meant to make us inferior or proud, but are meant to be our role model to imitate, so that when we compare ourselves with them, we will find this motivation to press on to be more godly. And so, this is comparisons that are blessed. And the thing is, now we know there's blessed comparison, there's also destructive comparison. So the question we will ask is, then how not to fall into this destructive comparison? What is the safeguard? How not to? I only have one point for this. The way to guard ourselves from entering the destructive comparison is to really establish our self-worth in Christ. But you realize the norm is what? Even for non-Christian, if you're honest with yourself, in our head, we know my self-worth comes from God. I'm so precious to God that He even died on the cross for us. But if you ask yourself practically, realistically, as you live day to day, where do you accumulate your sense of self-worth? When you see a lot of A on your results list, wow, you feel you're very 厉害, you know, you feel you're very smart, you feel you're very useful. When all your friends come to you for advice, then you feel, wow, you're very useful. Or what? What is it that always gives you the source of your worth? When you feel you didn't disappoint your parents, when you feel, wow, all the brothers and sisters in the church look to you for advice, look to you for guidance, or what is it? You know, this is something we need to not just struggle once, but we have to struggle a lot of times. Like, since I'm young, I also battle with self-esteem, self-worth. And even as I got a lot more healing and stability as I grow up, even as a preacher, sometimes I need to ask myself, you know, for example, as a preacher, do I feel I am very worthy if I sit in the church and everybody queue up to talk to me, you know, everybody like to talk to me, then that I can be worthy? Or what if one day I walk in the church, everybody see me as transparent, you know, like didn't see me, you know, and didn't greet me, and then I'm insignificant? Does it mean that I'm still worthy in God? So this is something, you know, the model answer, but it's the heart that we need to adjust and fight all the time. So I thank God, you know, God gave me glamorous moments, but God also gave me, you know, all the low moments in my life where I'm really like a transparent person in the world. Nobody knows me, nobody greet me, nobody see me, nobody. But it is at those moments that forces me to go back on this foundation. Where do I find my worth? Do I find my worth when my parents are very pleased with me? Do I find my worth when a man loves me? Do I find my worth when my boss appreciates me? Or my teacher or your teacher favors you? What is it? So a lot of times we know that we are the dignified child of God. His ever-present help and love, unchanging love is with us. But we need to guard against, you know, whether our self-worth is associated to how God look at us or how humans look at us. Sometimes we want to compare because we wanted to be smarter in the eyes of people. We want to be more enviable, you know. We want people to admire us more in the eyes of people. So that's how we like to compare. And we feel very shook, you know, when we think that we stand above average. But this is some... unless our self-worth is rooted in Christ, you realize we'll always be trapped in this miserable comparison cycle. And I tell you, why is it that humans' approval cannot satisfy us? Why? Actually, by the way, have y'all even come to this realization that human approval cannot satisfy you? Or how many of you still think that humans approval is very satisfying? What? I feel very sure when my mother gives me a thumbs up. I feel very sure when my teacher praise me in front of the whole class. I mean, of course, it's nothing wrong to feel shook, but have you even come to the realization that human approval cannot satisfy? I assume you all come to the realization that all of you are blessed, wise children of God. So why can't human approval satisfy us? Human change all the time. You know, today it's not uncommon. Today people praise you. Wow, you're such a good Christian, good co-worker, good project mate. Tomorrow, you're just a little bit late in sending your portion. They will scold you. They will say, hey, why you drag all of us down? Why you, you know, delay us? You know, this is a very important part. How can you, today you present very well, everybody clap for you. Tomorrow you stammer at the presentation. People say, hey, we should have gotten A because of your stammering. We become B or A plus, A minus. So people's approval is very unstable. And the fact that people change, even if people give you their approval today, you'll be very stressed because you don't know whether you can fulfill their expectation and satisfy them tomorrow. So you're in this constant stress. But to God, you know exactly what He wants. And you know He never changed. And you know on what basis He loves us. Not because of our qualities, because if that's the case, none of us can stand before God. And so we are very assured that God is accepting us today. He will accept us forever. And so it's all the more important for us to struggle through in our heart. Every time you find your heart a bit skewed to falling back on the approval of humans to find my worth, that's when you need to quickly fight and ask God to bring you back to find your worth in Him. You know, last time in social work or psychology, we have this self-dependency problem where, you know, when a lot of people depend on you, because this is the caregiver syndrome. You know, when you feel very much needed, you feel you are very worthy, very useful. And so some people very funny, they are very burnt out, they're very tired, but they enjoy being needed. Wow, my mother need me, my brother need me, my friends need me, my husband need me. I'm so important, indispensable in the world. But they tired themselves out until like cannot tahan anymore, but they still enjoy the neediness from others. That's because they unknowingly they have built their self-worth from how much people need them. If one day people don't need them anymore, they have thoughts of suicide, you know, they want to commit suicide because they feel they have no need for me to live in this world anymore. But we need to get ourselves back. We are worthy because of our identity in Christ and because God has given us his status as his child. And finally, this is the last point. So if that's the case, if we are to find our worth from God and not from human approval, then we also need to know the comparison is inevitable when there's someone beside you. If you live alone in the island, you won't have the trap of comparison. Maybe you can compare with the monkey or with the pigs or whatever, but it's very strange, right? You know you're of different species. So we need to have a right perspective. When God brings people beside us, I write shortcut. It's not meant for us to compare in a destructive way, but it's meant for us to complement and serve one another. So when you get this perspective right, we will be less likely to fall into a comparison trap. So this is where I hope and I pray for God's healing. So it's just like money is a neutral thing. How we look at money determines whether we are blessed or bound by it. So people around us is a neutral thing. But our perspective and attitude towards them determines whether we are happy, whether we can help people, or whether we are, you know, tied down by them. So for this, we read two passages, and I think we can conclude from there. So can we turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 6. Okay, so here it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." Okay, and this is the part. "But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment." I pray for all of you that we have this blessed gift from God to have sober judgment. You know, the one with a sober judgment, he's the happiest person on earth. Because he won't be inferior and sad because of, you know, other people who are better than him. But he also won't be proud. "So think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Verse 4, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." So if whatever we have come from what? Come from the grace given to each of us. If today you have a first class honors, it's not because you are very great. It's because God has given you the grace. And if that's the case, what's there to feel proud or inferior about? Okay, then the next scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 to 25. Okay, so here it reads, "As it is," again, it's similar content, "there are many parts but one body." And I love this part, verse 21. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." So sometimes, you know, when we compare, then we feel, you know, this person is standing on the stage singing song. My role is to sit behind the computer and click the PowerPoint. Sometimes we ask, why this person stand on stage? Everybody see his face. You know, sometimes my husband, very funny one. We are husband and wife in the church, but half the people don't know he's my husband. You know, sometimes then some people, when they talk to me, right, they say, "Hey, who's your husband?" Then I say, "Oh, the one behind the AVA." But they never know his face because he's always hiding behind the AVA and the computer. Nobody know his face. But people whom I never met before, because I'm preaching, so sometimes got a YouTube. People from overseas, they see my face, they can recognize me. So, you know, some people say, "Wow, why like that? Unfair, you know." So the thing is, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seems to be weaker are indispensable. Okay, I tell you, if nobody clicks the PowerPoint, everything screw up. You have the best singer there, she karaoke herself, but nobody can sing along, you know. So I love this verse 22. God deliberately said, those who are weaker, you know, we always think those who are stronger are indispensable. Actually, those who are weaker, God says, are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that, verse 25, also very important, so that there should be no division in the body. In today's context, so that there should be no comparison in the body. Why must you say the eye is more important or the ear is more important? But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So the gist here is God's heart is not for us to compare. But God wants us to have concern for one another. This is God's heartbeat. This is God's ultimate purpose. And that's the reason why God give us different gifts. So that, you know, so we have to acknowledge this thing. We all have different differences. We all have different gifts. But you have to acknowledge that all these differences is part of God's design. When you acknowledge that, you will feel more balanced in your heart. You know, I'm designed to be like that. You know, I'm designed to be gifted in certain area. I'm designed to, so that I can, you know, if everyone in the church want to be preacher, wow, I think there will be a lot of quarrels. You know, I also want to preach, you also want to preach, nobody want to listen to God. So, but if everyone also want to wash the toilet, which is not the case, nobody want so, also then, you know, nobody want to do other things. So, we need to acknowledge that God in His wisdom, in His grace, He purposely designed that everyone is different. And when you come to this acknowledgement, then you will have this clearer reaction. Every time you see that you are different from others, you will not despise them when they are weaker, nor will you feel very inferior when you are the weaker one. And so we need to get this in our mind that when we are different, if we are different from others, it doesn't mean that we are worse than them. This perspective must be out of our mind. Because we always have this thought, if I'm different, wow, I cannot sing as well as this sister. It means I'm super lousy. But being different just means, as what I mentioned just now, God has unique purpose and calling for you. So being different doesn't mean it's not good. You know, some of you, simple fact, some of you, you can speak more. Some of us, we are more shy. Some of us, we are more talkative. You know, last time, I always have brethren telling me, I really envy you. You can talk. I always tell them, I'm introvert, you don't know. I don't want to talk one. But in my role, I cannot don't talk. How I wish I can be like you, sit one corner, don't talk. People don't find me funny. But if I one day go to church, I sit one corner, I don't talk. People will come, hey, which one are you sick or something? So sometimes I enjoy the space, you know, that you all have. No, so, but the thing is, they say, no, you know, you come, you see a new friend, you immediately know what question to ask, what topic to strike, you know, and you can strike a very natural conversation. But you still have to realize God create different people for different purpose. Being different doesn't mean it's bad. You need to find, again, I said, the unique purpose that God has for you. And as comparison is, where comparison is concerned, and pride and whatever inferiority is concerned, we really need to guard our heart. Because why? Our heart is very deceitful. You know, last time I used to think that people who are more inferior, whenever they compare, right? Wow, they are really the pitiful people. They are not proud. But after that, slowly I realized that those who are inferior in one area in comparison with others, they have some secret pride in another area. So in areas that they are proud, you know, you need to know our heart is very deceitful. Don't always think that we are plagued by inferiority complex. Because in one area we are plagued by inferiority complex, in some other area we are plagued by pride. And so ultimately, God is telling us today also, what is that to you? However I lead someone else, whatever gift I give someone else, what is that to you? You must follow me. And the key word is must. If you don't follow me, all your gifts cannot be put to best use. It will only end you up in pride. And if you don't follow me, you will end up with struggles of inferiority complex. And you cannot put your gifts to build the kingdom of God. So again, I repeat the theme for today. What is it to you? So-and-so have this happening, so-and-so have this gift. You must follow Jesus. And that's where you can manifest the full potential that God has put in your life. And that's where you can develop and unfold God's unique purpose for your life.